I will be reading Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll be continuing into chapter 5 in preparation for the sermon. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, and I'll continue to chapter 5, verse 10. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You may sit down.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Good morning, greetings in Christ's name this morning. The last time that I preached about overcoming temptations, where our temptations come from, the steps that are taken when we fall into sin, and ways that we can overcome our temptations. This morning, I want to talk about Jesus, our great high priest. We all know that Jesus was here on the earth, and he lived his life here. He died, and he was resurrected, and then ascended up into heaven. We can no longer see him here on the earth. And we wonder sometimes, what is Jesus doing now? What is his job description now that he has left this earth? Has Jesus left us here to fend for ourselves on this sin-cursed earth? Do we need to figure out our struggles by ourselves? You know, whether it's health-related or dealing with relational problems or dealing with temptations or even just living here on the sin-cursed earth where we need to constantly take care of things that are decaying. I'm going to read that verse again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Jesus is our high priest while we are here on the earth. Jesus is sitting on the right side of God and is interceding on our behalf. The word high priest is maybe a word that we don't understand very well compared to the Jews. The book of Hebrews was written to people who are familiar with the term priest. And I believe these people in Hebrews were Jewish Christians who were being persecuted and were doubting about who Jesus was, if he was the Messiah whom God sent to mankind. Was it worth being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ? Did Jesus know what they were going through while they were suffering persecution? The book of Hebrews writes about how Christ is a better prophet, is better than the angels, is a better priest, and so on. This book, the book of Hebrews, is the only book where priests is mentioned from the book of Romans to Jude. It is mentioned in Revelation about how we will be kings and priests reigning here on the earth with Christ, which will happen in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We don't call anyone here at church a high priest. The Jews at their temple had a priest, had a high priest. Here at our church, we don't. None of us are considered as priests, and I believe it's rightly so. But this term high priest, the Catholic priest has it. Their pope, and he is called Pontifex Maximus. And that word means the greatest high priest. And I think that term for the Catholic priest is incorrect. It is blasphemy for them and also anyone else who considers themselves to be a priest, except for one person, which is Jesus Christ. If Jesus is our high priest, what does it mean? What does Jesus do? What does it look like in our lives? And when did he receive that position as high priest? In the Bible, there was different anointings that happened. And I'm going to just be referring a little bit to these anointings, which leads up to Jesus being anointed as high priest. The anointings in the Old Testament, when God had an assignment for people in the Old Testament, they were anointed. The positions that people were anointed was the king, the priest, and a prophet. The anointing as king, we can see in 1 Samuel 10 that Saul was anointed as king by Samuel. And then in 1 Samuel 16, David was anointed as king. And both of these were done when Samuel poured oil on their heads. And also for both of these men, after they were anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Anointing as a prophet, Elijah anointed Elisha as a prophet in 1 Kings 19. And he did this by casting his mantle or casting his coat on him. In Jeremiah 1, God ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet before he was born. And also anointing as priests. God instructed Moses how he was to anoint Aaron and his sons as high priests in Exodus 29 and 30. And then in Leviticus 8, it tells us when they were anointed with oil. After they did what God commanded them to do in consecrating the priests and the altar, the glory of the Lord appeared to the children of Israel. And this was done to every priest after Aaron. We can see that whom God chose to do these tasks, these three tasks, they were anointed. So when was Jesus anointed as high priest? We already read in Hebrews that Jesus is our great high priest. We can see there was a time when he was anointed in the passage that we've read. Hebrews 5:1, it says that every high priest taken from among men is ordained. He is put into position. And in verse 4, it says that the high priest is called of God. It gives the idea to invite, to summon to do something. And then it says in verse 5, so also Christ. Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but the one who said to Jesus, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So also Christ was called, was ordained. And it seems like in that phrase that was mentioned to Jesus, that it was at that time that he was anointed. That time there where it says, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Who said that, and when was it spoken? If you remember, God said this of his son. And I believe it's referring to his birth, the Word begotten, when he started the ministry that God called him to do by coming down from heaven and living on the earth. And it was at his baptism, Jesus' baptism, where God said to Jesus, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." After his baptism, the Spirit came down on him as a dove. And after his temptations in the wilderness, he had the fullness of the Spirit in his life. And remember what I said happened to those who were anointed as kings? The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And that is the same as what happened with Jesus. Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit to do his work. There are other verses that speak about how God anointed Jesus with the Spirit, and that we can find them in Isaiah. Isaiah 11:2, Isaiah 42, 1-5, Isaiah 61:1. At the time of Jesus' baptism, he was anointed as prophet, priest, and king. I believe that Jesus starts each one of these positions at different times, even though he was anointed one time. At the time of Jesus' ministry here on the earth, he was our prophet. He spoke to us. He revealed to mankind who God is. He spoke to us by example the way he lived his life here on the earth. He taught us many things while he was here. And this was done so that we can know who God is and have a relationship with him. Jesus is still speaking to us today through the words in the scripture. I believe now today, year of 2024, Jesus is acting as a role of a high priest. He is a priest for us right now, and we will talk about it later and see what all that means. Someday in the future, Jesus will fulfill his role as king in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where he will be king of all kings and lord of all lords. Even though he was anointed as king, he is still waiting to fulfill his kingly position till the right time. And if you think there was another person in the Bible who was anointed as king, but needed to wait a number of years before he was put into that position, and that is David. We can see that Jesus referred to this when he was reading from Isaiah 61 in the synagogue, that there was a separation between his role that he had. He was reading in the synagogue from Isaiah 61. He told the people what his role was. It was to preach, to proclaim, and that is what a prophet does, the gospel to those around him. Jesus then stops reading from Isaiah at the spot where it talks about how he will be the one to bring vengeance, or where he will reign as king, which is still yet future. I want to look now at the role of a high priest. Not necessarily speaking about Jesus, but we can apply it to Jesus. I had said that we don't totally understand what a high priest is and the jobs that they do for the people, like I think the Jewish people did in the Old Testament. In order for us to know what Jesus is doing for us, we need to understand the purpose of a high priest. What is the purpose of a high priest? Way back in the beginning, God created the world. He made a perfect world that was not marred by sin. He created man and woman after his own image. And because of his creation, God said that it was good. And because that he said that it was good, God blessed them so that they can continue on being fruitful and multiplying the earth. And because man and woman was created in his image, it is apparent from chapter 3 of Genesis that he had a relationship with them as well, with Adam and Eve. God communicated with them. They expressed themselves to each other. And Adam and Eve, his creation, brought pleasure to God. But then mankind sinned. Ever since the fall of man, man could not come to God. His sin separated himself from his Creator. They were unable to communicate with God. They weren't able to bring pleasure to God because of their sin. And because of their sin, there was then separation from God, their Creator. This separation has caused every single person to try once again to find their spot back into fellowship with God. But back in the Garden of Eden, we can see, even after they sinned, that God was not finished with his creation. He promised Adam and Eve that Eve's seed, or that the Messiah, born from the lineage of Eve, would crush the serpent's head, so that God could once again find pleasure in his creation. Also, he kept them out of the Garden of Eden, so that they could not eat from the tree of life and then live forever in their state of separation from God. I want to move on now to Mount Sinai, thinking about the purpose of a high priest. After the children of Israel left Egypt, they came to Mount Sinai. It was there where God gave them the Mosaic Covenant. And it was on this mountain where God spoke to Moses. It was from this mountain that God's presence, where his presence was, where he spoke to the people. God commanded Moses to tell the people that if they touch the mountain or even go up the mountain, that person should be put to death, separating the holiness of God from sinful people. Now moving on into the Holy of Holies, thinking about why we have a high priest. In the tabernacle that God instructed Moses to build so that he would be able to dwell with the children of Israel and commune with them, on the very inside there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And it was especially at the Holy of Holies where God will meet with the people to talk to them. The people needed to follow strict instructions with cleansing themselves to enter into the Holy of Holies so that they could communicate with God. The high priest was the only one who could enter into the Holy of Holies, and he did this once a year, and he went in there alone. If there was any violations with God's instructions, there was death to that person. And we can see that with Aaron's two sons, he brought a strange fire into the tabernacle. And this was done because of the holiness of God, which cannot stand sin, cannot be mixed with sin, cannot live among those who have sin in their lives. We can now see the purpose of the high priest. We are sinful people, and God is a holy God. There is a barrier between us as mankind and God. We cannot. There is no one that can ever connect to God unless there is a mediator, someone who comes in between God and man. With this mediator, we can finally connect with God in communication, so that he can be honored and glorified with his creation. That is the job of the high priest in the Old Testament, and also is Christ's role in our lives today. So what work did the high priest do in the temple in the Old Testament? He was the leader in the temple worship for the children of Israel. Probably the most important job that he did was the offerings that he did on the altar. And we see that in Hebrews 5:1 says that the high priest both offered both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The gifts that were presented to the Lord were the offerings. It's recorded for us in Leviticus. There were the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the peace offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings. When this was offered to the Lord, it was then a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. God then appeared to all the people. God was satisfied because it pointed to Jesus, who would be our sin offering. Hebrews 2:17, it says that the high priest was responsible to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In other words, so that the wrath of God can be satisfied. It is the turning away God's wrath toward the people because of the offering. Turning away God's wrath toward the people because of the offering that was given. The sin offering that was done was not only for the sins of the people, but also for the high priest's sin. The high priest was always busy doing things that God had commanded them to do so that there wouldn't be separation between God and man. So how does Jesus become our high priest? How does he become our high priest? The high priest, as we see in verse 1, were taken among men. In Leviticus 21:10, it says that a high priest needs to come from among his brethren. How would it be if some angel would have been our high priest, or an angel for the high priest for the children of Israel, instead of a man, someone like us? Or even something else like an animal. How would it be if an animal would be our high priest? We kind of recoil from these suggestions, an angel or an animal, because an angel or an animal have not the slightest clue the things that we deal with, the struggles that we are faced, and the temptations that come our way. Neither do they know what it's like to experience salvation. A high priest who is like us, bringing our needs to God. Therefore, he's taken from among men. Jesus also needed to be taken from among men to become our high priest. And I think this is something very important. And there are a couple words in Hebrews here that indicate that he has a beginning as a man. He is the Son of God. He is begotten of God, or that he was born, in verse 5. Verse 7, it talks about the days of his flesh, indicating one who has the body of a man. He is the perfect high priest who became man and lived a perfect life. Hebrews 2:14-17, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Jesus became like mankind so that he can experience what we experience. While Jesus was the one chosen from man, was he born from the right family? Even though Jesus was part of the Trinity, I think it was very important that he followed the rules that God had given to the children of Israel. And I think the reason because of that, so that we can know who the Messiah is that God sent down to the earth. In the Old Testament, from what family were the high priests born from? They were all born from the tribe of Levi. Exodus 27:21, it says, "In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statue forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." Aaron and his sons are in charge of taking care of the tabernacle, and it's a statue forever, even their generations. There are other verses that speak about this, how Levi, forever, they would be in charge of the tabernacle. Exodus 28:43 and Exodus 29:9. As far as I know, there was never a high priest that was born from the tribe of Benjamin or Reuben or Judah. Someone born from the line of Levi could be a priest and a prophet, just like Aaron was, but they could never be a priest and a king. All the kings came from the line of Judah except for one, and that was Saul, who was born from the tribe of Benjamin. And I think he was made king because the children of Israel didn't want God to rule over them, but they wanted a king like the other nations, so God chose Saul for them. But in Numbers 8, God had in place a time limit for the high priests. In other words, they couldn't always be a high priest as long as they live. Aaron, it might have been after Aaron, but they were able to become a high priest at the age of 25. But at the age of 50, they should cease to work in the tabernacle. The hard physical labor of handling the animals. And because of the time limit and age, there was many priests who came and went throughout Jewish history. They dealt with many priests, many different personalities. I'm sure there was confusions throughout their line of priests. But if Jesus doesn't break any rules that God set up for the children of Israel in regards to being priests from the line of Levi, how does he become a priest? Notice what it says in 5:10, Hebrews 5:10. And this is talking about Jesus. Called of God and high priest after the order of Aaron? No, after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a priest forever, unlike the priest of the line of Aaron who stopped at the age of 50. Jesus is our priest today and will continue on to be our priest, I believe, for all of eternity. Jesus is not a high priest after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus follows the rules, or he follows the patterns of priesthood that Melchizedek laid. Psalms 110:4 says that the Lord has sworn about it, and he will not repent or change his mind that Jesus is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is something that is set. It will not change. So who is Melchizedek that Jesus is patterning after? We don't read a whole lot about him, but he appears on the scene in Genesis. We read that he was a king of Salem, the name of ancient Jerusalem. He was a Gentile. Before there were any laws given about priests in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, he was a priest. And it seems that God always or often had mediators between God and man. But Melchizedek was one who blessed others. He blessed Abram, when he came back from rescuing Lot from captivity. Because of this, he is considered greater than Abraham, like it says in Hebrews 4. Abraham is one who many people look up to, the Islamic people, Jews, and Christians, but yet Melchizedek is greater. Melchizedek also received tithes from Abraham, which would indicate that he is greater. Melchizedek brought bread and wine when he met Abraham. And isn't bread and wine what Jesus served at the Last Supper? It seems like Melchizedek knew something about the doctrine of atonement. Melchizedek had no record of his father or mother. In other words, it wasn't because of his lineage that he was a priest, but because he was appointed by God, just like Jesus. Neither did Melchizedek have a record of his birth and death, which would almost appear as if he's a priest forever. Because Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek instead of after Aaron, it makes the new covenant way better than the old covenant that was weak and unprofitable, like it says in Hebrews 7. And in saying that, it doesn't mean that the law of Moses was worthless and didn't mean anything. It proved to us that we need a Savior and cannot measure up to the law. So we said, we were asking the question, how does one become a high priest? We said that one needs to be appointed by man. The second one, the high priest needed to be ones who have compassion, and we see that in verse 2 of chapter 5. The word compassion means one who is moderate towards one's feelings. To deal gently, to treat with mildness. It speaks of difference between one who sins in ignorance and one who goes astray. Those who unintentionally sin compared to one who's a deliberate lawbreaker. Compassion not toward the one who intentionally falls into sin, but towards one who has a repentant heart. It would be very difficult to have a high priest who thinks that he is righteous and one who is haughty and high-minded, thinking back to Aaron's priesthood, his line. If there would be a priest like that, there may be times where he wouldn't do his work because the person who sinned needs to get a grip that he deserves separation from God because of the deed that he did. A good high priest is one who is humble and recognizes his need and sees the need and needs in others and helps them. The high priest needed to take care of his own sins before he could help the needs of others. Jesus, when he was here on this earth, knows what it's like to depend on God and also depend on the aid of the Holy Spirit. At the time of baptism, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He ministered to those around him through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit also helped him in his times of temptations in the wilderness. And after his temptations, angels ministered to him. We all know what it is like to be tempted in an area over and over again, and then we fall. Jesus was victorious through every single area of his temptations, even when it was the most difficult for him. When his flesh was the weakest, he was victorious without sin. Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are, yet without sin." Or read in the ESV, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect as has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted in every single area, every weak spot in his life, just like us. But yet he did not sin. He was perfect. Still thinking about having compassion, and high priest having compassion. When he was suffering in the garden, he depended on angels to strengthen him. He many times told the people that he only spoke the words from his Father. He was dependent on his Father's words. Even though Jesus had the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the angels to minister to him, he went through great suffering. He experienced mockery from those around him. He was rejected even by his closest friends when he was all alone on the cross. He was hated by men. His body was beaten and torn because of the hatred of men. And we can see a little bit what his sufferings looked like, what he felt in verse 7 of chapter 5. He offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears that God would save him from death. And not only that, he suffered from the wrath of God that was due to us. How much more suffering can a person experience? This is suffering to the extreme. And I think this death that Jesus prayed to God to save him from was not necessarily physical death. Jesus knew when he came down to this earth that he needed to go to the cross, that he needed to die. This death, I believe, is eternal separation from God, the same that an unbeliever suffers with. And God answered Jesus' prayer and resurrected Jesus. Therefore, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Because Jesus experienced great needs like he did, because he suffered so much, he is the perfect one who can have compassion toward us. He knows what it is like. In Revelation 2, Jesus told the church at Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And the word know here is not a word that speaks of knowledge like I know that Belize is down south or somewhere, or that Russia is somewhere on the other side of the world. And both of these places I've never been to. And I only know them about them because of knowledge. But the word I know in this passage is a word that speaks about experience. Jesus told that church that he knows because he has already experienced what they are experiencing. He knows what it's like to be in tribulation and poverty. And he knows what it's like where there are people around him who are fake disciples or Jews who do not worship the true God, but Satan. Jesus knows because of his experience. Just like the earthly high priest had compassion on people, Jesus, our high priest, had so much more compassion for us. What happens since we have Jesus, our high priest, forever? We see in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Since we have a great high priest, the invitation is open to all people. Let us. This invitation is not just for the high priest in the lineage of Aaron. We are all welcome. Let us, all of us, come. And it's not just one person like it was in the Old Testament, went into the Holy of Holies. Let us all come. Since we have a great high priest, we can therefore come boldly. There's no need for hesitation. We can come with great confidence. There's nothing that can hold us back since we have a great high priest. Since we have a great high priest, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of grace is a place where all grace comes from. It is the place of the mercy seat in the tabernacle. It is the place where it is considered the Holy of Holies. It's the place where people died if they went unprepared. It was where God's presence is, and now we can come boldly to his presence. Since we have a great high priest, we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come whenever we are in time of need. In the Old Testament, they were able only one time a year come to the throne of grace. We can come to the throne of grace to find someone to help us in our time of need. And there's not a better place to be than at the throne of our Creator to help us. All this is possible only because we have a great high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice one time on the altar so that we can now have access to God. And I'm so thankful for Jesus. He was made, appointed, called as like one of us and one who has compassion. I'm going to read verses 14 to 16 in Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I invite you to kneel in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for the plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for our high priest that you've appointed, that you called to come down to this earth to experience the things that we experience with. Thank you, Lord, that we can now enter boldly into the throne of grace because of our high priest, and that we can find help in time of our need, Lord. I pray, God, that you just help each one of us to be faithful to what you called us to. Help us, Lord, to live faithfully to you. Guide and direct our fellowship today. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.